This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
This week on Meat and Three, we're exploring interactions from drug studies in a laboratory.
If this effect is as big as he's saying, somebody should have discovered this long before he did.
To global wisdom on avoiding hangovers.
Beber cerveza antes de tomar vino no previene los síntomas.
Bière sur vin et venant, vin sur bière et belle manière.
Beer before wine, you're going to be fine. Wine before beer, you're going to be queer.
To the novel recipes developed by an Indian American family deep in the heart of Texas.
And then my mom's sort of coming to America and learning that white parents love to melt cheese on things to get their kids to eat it. She was like, this is genius.
Be sure to subscribe to Meat in Three. That's M-E-A-T plus sign T-H-R-E-E. Available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome to HRN Happy Hour. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, and somewhere is Bushwick. I'm Kat Johnson, the host of HRN Happy Hour, here with my co-host Katie Mosman-Wadler.
Hey, Kat. Happy Thursday.
We're also here with Hannah Forden, our program manager.
Happy, very beautiful spring Thursday.
We also have our intern, Rory White, with us.
Hello, far away.
Hello! And our engineer, Max Miller, in the studio. What's up, Max?
What up, Max?
Woo!
Hey, guys.
This is Max's first HR and Happy Hour. This is very exciting.
Initiation.
We have some very exciting guests in the studio. I think I'm just going to have you guys introduce yourselves because you're old friends of the network by now, and now everyone can hear your voices and know who's who.
Should we start with Lou?
No, we should start with Chava.
Okay,
Chava. I want to start with Chava.
I'm the only one that is the new guy around. So my name is Salvador, but my name means savior in Spanish. And Mexicans
have decided. That explains a lot.
It explains my nickname or national nickname, which is Chava, which means girl.
Wait. Hang on. What was the word you used? The cell?
Salvador to Chava, Lou, and it's just a joke. I think it's a Catholic joke.
Well, savior, but savior a little girl, so a little girl is a savior.
I mean, I don't know your experiences, but can be a savior.
A little girl can save your heart.
I don't know.
Okay.
But I'm trying to be tender.
Welcome, Chava.
Thank you very much.
We're excited to have you.
How about Jay?
I can go next. So
Please do.
I'm Jay Schrader. I have about half the amount of voice that I normally have right now, but I'm here from Chicago.
Well, we're going to see what we can do about taking care of the rest of that for you.
Okay, I think I can handle it myself, but any help that you want to give is totally appreciated.
Cool.
I think he's lying. So I'm Lou Bank.
And
I'm also from Chicago, and I am good friends with actually everybody in this room now, because you're wearing a Mary Jane shirt, you as well. Jay, half the time I'm with you, you can't speak.
I guess I just have a weak vocal constitution. I don't know what it is.
Sound like Batman.
I think that's a good thing.
Right? I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I'm just calling him on his lie.
Lou's complimenting you.
Thank you, Lou.
I'm calling him on his lie. It's a lie to say that his voice isn't normally like that.
He sounds like Batman.
Yes, half the time.
Is it because you have to talk a lot?
I think I've been talking a lot on this trip to New York. I think that's probably a very good part of it. Sometimes in loud environments, too.
Would you say that 50% of the time you sound like Batman all the time?
50% of the time, all the time, yes.
We're really crossing our movie references here, and my head's spinning. So we're excited to have you guys here. We're going to talk a lot about mezcal and agave and taste through some things and get more into like why you guys are here in New York visiting us, which we're very happy about. But we have a few announcements first.
Yes, we do. First up, we want to make sure that if you are a baker, you get your hands on the last couple of tickets that remain with your opportunity to join the leading bakers of the world, not bankers, importantly. Some of them might be, but especially the bakers we love, as they explore the future of artisanal bread making June 12th through the 14th at Johnson & Wales University at Charlotte. You can visit our good friend and Hall of Famer, Peter Reinhardt, there.
Peter Reinhardt?
Yeah. Yes.
I love
also
Peter.
Lou's he's good the friend best. Peter.
He is.
We will be taking a deep dive into the issues, opportunities, and trends shaping the baking industry over 2 days of hands-on bread making workshops. So they're shaking it up this year. It's gonna be really, really hands-on. I will be there.
It's here?
It's at Johnson & Wales in Charlotte.
Oh, in Charlotte. Yeah. Wait, when is it in Charlotte?
June 12th through the 14th.
No.
Are you going to be in
Charlotte? Peter, I'm going to see you.
Let's hang out. Let's yeah, make yeah, bread.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to see, yes.
Yeah, I'm going to see you.
I'm there for my niece's graduation.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah. We're going to make some bread, Lou.
Yeah, wait, shout out to Annie.
This is why we met Lou.
I know. Well, oh, this yeah. is, we're getting to that. We're going to get to that. but this, for listen.
Guys. We are all over the place.
HRN is going to be there. Lou Bank is going to be there. There will be baking. It's going to be really cool. The campus is amazing. Really awesome kitchens, teaching kitchens. So you need to get your tickets. And it actually says click here, which is making it very hard for me to tell you the link. But if you search
That's
for,
my bad. I copy and paste it in the script.
But if you search for Johnson & Wales University, bread baking.
Wales?
Yeah, yes. Not yes. like whales, like, ooh. I don't know how to make a whale sound.
Katie, what is
whales
going
like
on
the
today?
Country.
Pre-gaming?
I just think it's wafting over here.
We haven't even had any mezcal.
Aerosolized mezcal that is affecting me
boy.
Clearly. Okay. Anyway. Go to it. It's going to be lots of fun.
Yeah.
That is go what to I there. Have to say for that announcement. And now, can we please have our headlines? That's it. That's the stuff. All right. For that momentous music, we have a momentous recommendation to hear our very first interview with Lou Bank. You're going to go back in the time machine, back to Charlotte, back to episode 67 of HRN on Tour. We first met Lou when we crashed the Charlotte Bartenders Guild meeting. Still not sure how we like pulled that off. We just showed up. It was pouring rain. It was like in the back of a co-working space. And
Lil was
our
like,
friend
we
Ted
gotta
Nelson
go.
And Lil Fredzel were like, hey guys, like aww, we're going to this meeting.
Well.
And so we like ran through this torrential downpour and then we walked in and you were like, who the hell are these people?
I would never say that. All are welcome.
Well, thank you. We were like bedraggled, drowned people, but we were really psyched because we got to sit through the tasting and then we made you do an interview with us on like no notice afterwards.
Allowed
and
me
you
to
were
do an interview.
Wonderful. And it was so great. And since
and you
then,
were wonderful.
We've been lucky enough to get to hang out with you lots of times and gotten you to Bogart and Bushwick for lots of rad events, another one of which is happening tomorrow. Bad news, HRN Happy Hour fans, is that the
it
event
will have
is
already
sold
happened
out.
When you hear this show.
It will have happened, and you can't get tickets because of time travel. And because,
we're double screwed.
And
oh,
because
God.
The wait list is already really long. I'm really sorry. We're going to try our best to get anybody on there that we can squeak in, but it's going
to
be sold
but
out.
But unless you actually have a time machine, I could go back to before it was sold out. You
right,
are out of
right.
luck.
But that's sort of, that's I think, that's a reason for people to be reading your newsletter, to receive your newsletter and read your newsletter so that they don't miss out.
Agreed.
They don't miss out next
good
time.
Good point,
thank
Lou.
You, Lou.
Yeah.
Yes, and to do so, you can just go to our homepage, heritageradionetwork.org, and wait for the pop-up and or look in the bottom right corner to sign up.
Wait for the pop-up.
Okay.
It takes so long.
And speaking from the HRN time machine, I have another unique mezcal story for you to check out. You can listen to episode 46 of Why Food, where Jenny and Ethan welcome Yuan Ji, who is a former antitrust attorney. Do you know her?
Of course I know Yuan.
You know everyone. She came to our last event with the tasting at 100 Bogart.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
where I met Yuan.
Yeah. In fact, so her partner is Kevin. It's Kevin
actually,
and Yuan.
I met Kevin and then I met Yuan.
Yeah. And I got an email from them yesterday saying, hey, when are you showing up? I had forgotten that I had, like, they were going to put me up. I was supposed to stay with them. And, like, I was in the, yeah, and I completely forgot. So I'm sorry, Yuan and Kevin.
You had
and,
double booked free accommodations in New York,
right?
Classic
for you.
Right?
Well, anyway, you should check out that episode. She was an antitrust attorney and loves Oaxaca, like all the people in this room, and mezcal, and it inspired her to launch Erstwhile Mezcal, which you should check out. It's delicious. She partners with Master Mezcaleros in Oaxaca, whose families have been making mezcal for generations, and brings it here to the U.S. for us. So if you want more mezcal, check it out.
And lastly, for more mezcal antics, check out episode 365 of Cooking Issues, which was taped this past week. It's a real party with appearances by Jack the Nail Schramm. HRN alum Jack Inslee just happened to show up, which was crazy. And our guests of honor were Jay Schrader and Lou Bank, calling in via phone. So we're lucky to have him in person with us. The show went off the rails, much like this one is starting to as well. We covered
what rails?
Good point. We talked about cat training techniques, Jay's new book, Understanding Mezcal, and Dave sang jingles and recited poetry.
But you know, I was offended that there was nothing in the description about feet, because there was a lot of feet talk.
I told you to not drop the F-bomb in this recording session, Lou, and you did it. You went and did it.
Foot, feet.
Yeah.
10 and a half.
I would highly recommend listening to that, if only for the conversation about cat training. Hannah, highly recommend it for you.
Meow.
Jay has some cat training techniques for you.
I got some tips.
I need them.
We'll talk.
My cat is my boss.
It was cooking issues became like personal grooming issues for the day. It was crazy.
Again, it's
fun.
All controlling bacteria. I see a lot of crossover. Mm.
I mean, it's a good point. Okay, well, those are our headlines.
Poor Jay.
It's rough.
It was like Lou just called in to like almost troll Jay the entire show.
That is exactly what
Lou No.
He called in to troll me.
I didn't call in to troll him. I live to troll Jay.
This is an ongoing and evolving situation.
Yes.
That's what friends are for, really.
Good times, bad times. Yeah.
So can we just start our interview portion with the three of you kind of telling the story of how you got to know each other? Because, I mean, you can... Lou's been on the show before. Jay, you've been on Cooking Issues now. Chava, we have a lot to get to know about you.
Chava is fascinating. Chava is like the unknown mystery that everybody should know.
Thank you very much, Lou, for that. Well, I mean, that you cannot get a very compliment for that, right?
He's the nation of Prussia.
Well, I guess I met Lou various years ago. I'll say 4 or 5 years ago.
10.
It feels like 10 years ago. And he was this gringo that will get to the glass blowing factory where I used to work in Oaxaca on Christmas, expecting somebody to be there at 6 p.m. And I happened to be there.
Christmas Day?
Yes.
Christmas. Oh, on Christmas Day. Okay.
On Christmas Day, too, maybe. Like, something that you will not expect humans to be inside a factory.
But I know you're lying about 6 p.m. because that's getting awful close to my sleeping time.
Well, yeah. Like
It was like 4 p.m.
He's
or 3
in his PJs
PM.
By then.
Yeah. Anyway, so he kept on doing that year after year, and I kept on being there year after year. And then we just...
What they do there, it's a really fascinating factory, is they take the soda bottles from around Oaxaca, they collect all of those, and then they collect all the spent grease from restaurants, and they use that to heat the fire that melts the glass.
Well, that's a little bit inaccurate. A, we get a lot more Corona bottles than soda bottles in Oaxaca.
Okay, fair enough.
Like for obvious reasons, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we get waste cooking oil, which I say is like a teenage-based technology we're using. Mm-hmm. It's like, I guess, I don't know, what were you doing when you were teenagers, but I was getting like sprays and fire in front of the spray and making...
Safe. Sounds safe.
Yeah, well, you know, Mexico, we have our ways. so I was making these improvised flamethrowers that were very useful at that age and time.
Definitely.
Pest control, any number of things.
I'm not going to name the usages that I gave to it, but they were useful. And so it's the same idea. You get cooking oil, it has a lot of energy inside it. You atomize it, and you can make a flame that is 1300 Celsius, which in Fahrenheit, I have no idea how much it is.
A lot.
Imagine hell.
It's hot.
Yeah. Imagine so, hell. Yeah. Hmm.
Yes. So I went there, to just, you know, buy really cool bottles that they make, but also, B, I was trying to convince them to make for me a bottle that was shaped like a harvested agave pina, where one of the little, like the pancas, the leaves, you could pull out, and that was the cork. And we went back and forth over email for months trying to get a price on that. And you came out to like $10,000.
Well,
I thought you were trying to blow me off. $10,000, gringo. You want it? Like that.
Well, it's we used to get a lot of that. You know, you're in Oaxaca, you make glass, and people wait with all these extravagant ideas like that. And
people, Lou.
Like, that's yes. Fair. And, in many other production sites, people have no idea of what it takes to make something. So yeah, like the quotes are usually a little bit discouraging, which happened to be the case of Lou, but we became good friends in the end.
Absolutely.
You did not take it at heart. He was fine with it.
Did you get your bottle?
Oh no, I did not, but.
he's not as rich as he looks.
That's right, I'm more of a baker than a banker.
I'm wearing a nice suit though today.
Thank you very much.
And he's going to Sotheby's after, right?
Oh,
you know, he is going to Sotheby's.
I am. I've got a Van Gogh thing I got to do. So,
just chilling, guys. Just chilling.
There you go. But the second time I came to see you, you poured for me this beautiful Arequeño.
Ooh, from Olegario.
Olegario Warriors from Santa Maria Sol de Vega.
Yes, indeed. And this guy's insane because his fermenter tanks are whipping willows that they chop down in one piece. I'm talking, I don't know, like meters-wise, probably like 4 meters in diameter, a whipping willow. They just carve them in the middle.
Like a canoe.
Like a canoe, and they ferment inside of those beautiful things.
Hmm.
I tried to buy one of those for years, but never had the funding nor the ways to transport it. But,
I'm calling attention to this because my husband has some Olegario agave spirits.
Oh.
And, Chris, did you hear that? That is so cool. We didn't know the thing about the weeping willow.
Well, he doesn't ferment everything in those. So I.
Only the lucky ones go in there.
Yeah. There you go. But so what Chava, after I tasted it, Chava said to me, oh, you should just go see him. I'm like, what? You should just go see him. And like, literally, that's the first time I ever went out into the wilds of Oaxaca on my own. It was like a month or two later, I was down there, and this never happens where I just have free time, right? I've no obligations to anybody. I've got a rental car. I've got nothing to do. That never happens. And so I just looked on the map. This is what he said to do. Just go to Santa Maria Sola de Vega and ask around, which I did.
It takes a while. You'll
it's
end
like
up there.
2 hours, 2.5 hours.
Well, no, to ask. To get there, it's 2 hours. Yeah,
so
like the asking process is that.
I pull into town, right? And there's these three, I swear to God, three guys who are riding donkeys. Not horses, they were on donkeys. And I pull up in my rental car and I say, por favor, ¿dónde es Maestro Mescalero Olegario? And they laugh and laugh and laugh at the gringo. And when they stop laughing, I said, por favor, ¿dónde es Maestro? And so this went on a few times. Until they said something to me, and then I realized, oh yeah, I don't speak Spanish. They're going to tell me how to get there. I won't know what they're saying. And so I watched their hands, and they pointed down the road. So I followed it, and I did this for like 45 minutes, trying to find this guy. People telling me, blah, 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 blah. And I just watched their hands. And finally, some woman made this like left-hand turn, and I made that turn. It's like, now I'm going to find it. And I pull up again to this other guy. And I say, por favor, ¿dónde es Maestro Mescalero Olegario? And he says, oh yeah, I know Olegario. It's like, whoa, he speaks English. Turned out it was Olegario's son. That's how I found Olegario. Like I happened to bump into his son walking down the street.
Lou, can you back this story up? Because I know that you take all these trips to Oaxaca and you go and you drive around and you find the Mescaleros. But what were you doing the first time before this was a thing?
The first time I went down there?
Yeah, before you met Chava.
So literally the first time I went down to Oaxaca, I went down because, how deep into the story do you want me to go?
Well, like, what was the
Do you want me to talk about dog?
What was the occasion for being in Oaxaca to meet Chava?
To meet Chava.
Well, that was an accident.
Right. Why were you there on Christmas Day? Like you're wandering around Christmas Day. You're like, I'm going to go to this glass blowing factory. What's the context?
Well, my wife had this beautiful German Shepherd, 13-year-old German Shepherd. We had purchased a house in Humboldt Park, very specifically
Chicago.
In Chicago, yeah, very close to the park because Sissy, the dog, she loved Humboldt Park. And between the time that we closed on the house and we took possession, the dog passed away. Oh. And it was very sudden, like literally one day she coughed. And we were like, that's weird. And they said at the doggy daycare place, they said, just watch her. And literally within 36 hours, she was dead.
Oh.
So we knew there was no way we were going to pack up our house and see all those tufts of fur and not just break down. So I said to Connie, I said, let's just get out of town. And where are we going to go? Well, my little sister had been to Oaxaca a bunch of times, and she loved it. Connie is studying Spanish, and it's because one of us has to. And so she thought that would be good. And you know, and then I was drinking mezcal and really interested. So I thought, this seems like a good idea. And 2 days into that trip, I thought it was the worst idea ever. I've got one power. I've got one ability, and that is to speak. Right? Like, that's all I do in my life is I talk and I get people engaged by talking and I go down there and they don't understand me. It's like my hands are tied behind my back and I was so angry. I was so angry. And then I had this epiphany that this is the one place in the world I can go and I don't have, like, there's no pressure on me to speak. I don't have to communicate. And things got a lot better after that. Yeah. Was that the story you wanted?
Well, I mean, I'm terribly sad from that story, but also I wanted to know, so it's a getaway, so you're here and then you have this life-changing encounter where this becomes a thing.
Well, yeah, like I thought even after that great time, I thought we're gonna be here once, that's it, and then like next year we'll go to Greece or something like that, and instead we were eating at Los Danzantes, and our waiter, who's a guy I still run into, like, he's been through 50 jobs in Oaxaca. David?
Yes. He's a good dancer. And every time I encounter him, he always goes like, ¿Y tú por qué bailas? Because I happen to be in a video dancing like crazy and somebody asking me, why do you dance?
What kind of a video?
Well, I have my clothes on, if that's what you're asking.
No, well, sure. But I mean... are you like internet famous?
No, not at all. This is like there's a beautiful punk band called Los Exquisitos, the exquisite ones. Mm-hmm. So you can get an image of it. And yeah, they're
different from Esquites.
Those are also exquisite.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. There can be. Yeah. So anyway, that's the context of that. So David, I met him forever. He's been in like every.
He's worked everywhere.
Everywhere there's agave spirits.
Yeah. 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 Fair
he
enough.
Will not work in a place that only serves Bacardi or something like that. Mm.
So
good lie. So Jay, how do you fit into all this?
That's a really good question.
When did you and Lou become frenemies?
When did we become frenemies? So Lou rolled up on. I think one of the, well, you rolled up at Frontera.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, you're operating a restaurant and people will try to like hassle you about things or like sell things to you.
Hey, buddy.
Especially at inopportune times. Like, I don't know, like when you're getting ready to set up for service.
At 4 o'clock on a Tuesday.
Yes, that is the worst possible time. In the Frontera verse, that is the worst possible time. That is like crunch time.
Hey, guy, check out what I got in my coat.
I have an exciting opportunity for you.
Well, he comes in and he's like wrangling me. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. He doesn't seem like a regular liquor salesman, but like, I'm not having it, right? And then he pulls out a bottle with painter's tape on it, and I'm like, all right, we'll talk. And so that was your like foot in the door moment right there.
Foot. You brought up feet the second time.
No.
Okay. And so anyways, not talking about that. And then when I opened Mezcaleria Las Flores, you came around and like brought all these like ridiculous it was just like, here's these hand woven things that you might hang up somewhere.
I would like you to have these carved higuras.
Yeah, like
here are some bottles of spirits that I think you should have.
And it was cool because we were looking for like decor elements and such for the reconcept, and it was like, it was perfect, but he just rolls in with all this stuff and like plops it on the bar. I was like, cool. Good to see you, and just like dips out.
I gotta go now. It's kind of late.
Why are you talking like me right now? That's my real question. Are you making fun? Are you mocking me, Lou?
I would never do that.
Thank you. Thanks.
What was the?
You can't make fun of Batman.
I am the knight.
Wait, what was the Guy Fieri quote? What was the?
Welcome to Flavortown.
That kills me every time.
So were you just like giving decor away, or were you like trying to find places to kind of store it, but also have it displayed?
No, like this for me, like I don't own a brand. I don't work at a bar or a restaurant. I'm not a distributor. I'm not a wholesaler. I'm not a brand ambassador. Like for me, this is really about, and I know it sounds bizarre, but it's about salvation. Like I've been a salesman my whole life. Right, so what I'm selling now is salvation. It's salvation through agave spirits, and I, again, I know it sounds weird, but I really do think that there is a kernel of magic and really a treasure trove of importance in the multi-generational wisdom of the people who are hand-making heirloom agave spirits in rural Mexico. I think that they have an approach to life that can solve a lot of the problems that we continue to compound with our views of how the world works. You know, in my experience, most of the people I hang out with are trying to find a more efficient way to do things. And when you go and visit these people in rural Mexico, not all of them, but the special ones, what they're trying to do is get a better result. It's not about how much time it takes or how much resources are used up to do it. They are trying to get a better result. And I have found, particularly, I have found with these people that they can solve problems that we continue to confuse. You know, the best example is the water project in Santa Catarina Minas that Eduardo Anles of La Locura Mezcal set up. He literally saved that town. That town was going through drought every 5, 6, 7 years, and now they're not. And it's because he figured out a way to capture the water. And it's a way that the state of California would tell you that they cannot.
Interesting. Jay,
and that's why I keep going back.
Well, Jay, I have a question for you. So you were already working, you know, in Mezcal before you met Lou. I would assume that you probably had been down to Oaxaca prior to meeting him, or had you not?
I had, yeah. I had been down a couple times beforehand.
So the question is, going down with Lou, how was that different than other trips you'd taken pre-Lou?
Less pleasant? I don't know. I think really interestingly, one of the biggest differences is in the like how of how we travel. Mm-hmm. And Lou's like really like time blocked out, like really scheduled, and he flies into Mexico City and then like drives across and rents a car, and like all these, like I think a lot of the details were that way. But I mean, I think our approach philosophically, we have our drastic differences.
Huge.
But I think that we approach this stuff in the same way. So, you know.
There's certainly.
Let me disagree with that. I've been caught in the middle of that. So.
You got the uncensored totally. Car sessions where totally. We're going back and forth.
Yeah, which we need to start recording. But, you know, what I would say is I think where we overlap, we do have very different approaches to things and views, but where we overlap is I think we both have the same appreciation and love for how things are being done in these rural communities. And we both, while we may disagree on strategy as to how to preserve it, I think we both want to preserve it. I think we both want to preserve it.
Hard agree.
Is it too big a can of worms to ask you to talk about some of those kind of theoretical differences?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Will you it do it anyway?
No, I texted so Chava sent over this treasure trove of ridiculous scholarly articles and sent them to me, and I start crawling through them, and there's one that's about agave as a crop to mitigate climate change for carbon sequestration. And I like read through this thing and like the implication hits me like a ton of bricks. And I text it to Lou and I'm like, God damn it, Lou, I don't want to have to save the world. I don't want to do this. There are possibilities with this whole thing in very, very unexpected ways.
But quite literally, like that's, I don't want to save the world, right? Chava and I had this exact same discussion about agave being a source for ending climate change.
Yeah, and the evidence says that's not necessary.
Oh, is that what the result was?
Why?
Because that was efficient scientists. I want some scientists who are looking for a better result.
The result you want to see?
The best kind of scientist, right there.
So they said it's not going to work?
Yeah, no. Well, it's very, yeah, no. No.
Okay, because saving the world sounds kind of like a hassle. That's all I'm saying. It sounds like a
I think that is all there is.
I think that's too much of a burden to put like on one plant, too. Like,
true.
There's problems are bigger than like agave can. It's not agave's fault. Well, so why should we put that all on agave?
Well, but it's not like it has to save everything. But I really do believe. I haven't read the paper. But I believe that if we're going, if we're moving towards a world that is more arid, right, and we know that plants take carbon out of the atmosphere, as places that could grow trees cannot grow trees, you need something that's going to take carbon out of the atmosphere. How is that not agave, and how does that not save the world? Well, lying scientists.
I mean, it's just the amount of CO2 that can go into the agave. I'll send you the paper. We'll discuss this in detail. But I think that in a good way, that's also a part where I think you have very distinct approaches. I think, like, you are a lot more emotional to the whole thing.
I am not!
You will go elbows first,
I'm angry.
Head-butting things, and that's how you open every door, right? Like, that's...
I literally, when I was in my 20s working at Marvel Comics, I literally opened doors by head-butting them.
I'm not surprised. And whereas Jay has definitely a more, may I say, academic approach.
I'll take that.
Yeah, so
purely academic.
Yeah, which is very funny because you're supposed to be the old, composed man of the team.
I'm the old, but I'm the decomposed man. Not
like rotting, fermented.
So you're gonna close down. Yes. You're gonna close down Ghost Donkey with me this evening. Is that what I'm hearing, Lou?
Do they close at 9?
Oh, sure. A little later.
Well, we need to take a quick break, you guys.
Regroup.
Yeah, we're going to get it together, and then we have a little game that we're going to subject.
And we need a taste. We need to taste something. Oh, yeah.
Is it Let's freeze tag?
We have the
I have not thought about freeze tag for a hot second. Right. Thank you for that memory.
Also, the studio we're going to reflect. Is so small. Can you imagine?
Okay, freeze tag. Be right back.
Are you enjoying this podcast? Heritage Radio Network has plenty more. My name is Sari Kamen.
And I'm Leah Kurtz. And together we host Food Without Borders here on HRN.
Immigrants make our food system vibrant, diverse, and delicious.
Each week, we invite a guest to talk about how food connects them to their past as we explore what it's like to be an immigrant in the U.S. today.
You can find Food Without Borders wherever you listen to podcasts and on heritageradionetwork.org.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Welcome back to HR and Happy Hour. That was Lou, you heard. And we're here with Lou Bank, Jay Schrader, and Chava. Chava, what's your last name?
Periban.
Which is
I'm
really
so glad
funny.
You said that because I could not probably pronounce
well,
it.
Well, it's not really my last name, but my last name is Pulido, which if you happen to Google Salvador Pulido, you'll get like, I don't know, some dead people, some soccer players. It's a very common Mexican name. So I did like the Godfather's approach and took my town's name as my last name. So I'm Salvador Periban now.
You could also just be like the artist formerly known as...
Salvador Dalí.
There you go.
That artist. That artist you might have formerly heard of.
Any artist, really.
We have a little shenanigans coming up. Do we have time for like maybe a couple more questions?
Yeah, well, I think we should taste a little bit of what you guys brought, talk about it, and then yeah, we'll play a game.
I'm confused because this bottle has a label on it that came out of a printer.
This is Chava actually earning his money.
Woo.
Oh, nice sound.
Fancy.
Yes.
This is a beautiful bottle, by the way. Can you tell us about the bottle since you know so much about glass?
Well, this is... I mean, I wouldn't be able to name the specific composition of the bottle, but I know it's soda glass, if that's the... I guess term, but this is Vicio Mezcal, and this is really the reason why I'm here now.
Could you spell that?
Vicio as in vice, V-I-C-I-O. My spelling in English is terrible. Vicio.
Yeah, no, that worked.
Vicio Mezcal. Yeah. You got it?
Yeah.
Got it.
So they invited me to Philly. I met them. I went to Philly like 5 months ago to the Philly Magic Gardens. I don't know if you guys been there. Is this crazy museum by Isaiah Hagar. He made a...
Did you just say Sammy Hagar?
I can't pronounce his name. I call him Isaias because his name in English is too... Like, Isaiah. I say Hagar.
But not Sammy Hagar. Okay.
No. And I did a lecture there about agave spirits and in some of the fashion of what Lou was saying, sort of the potential of craft to teach us about things about the future that we did not know. And I met these guys from VCU, and they invited me to go do some education with their distributors and to meet people and get them to know a little bit more about agave spirits, because someone's like, we've been in this for so long that we forget that even the most basic elements of agave spirits, people tend to forget them, no? It's like, it's made out of agave. And
it's distilled.
Yes, and that even is sometimes a stretch. So I'm curious to tell stories about agave spirits. That's what I'm doing here right now.
So tell us a little bit about this specific one that we're going to taste.
Well, this is a very classical example of a pretty espadín. Espadín is the most common, I'll say, agave used for mezcal production today. And I think it's a very fortunate choice because it's a very shy agave. Like, it's not like a tepestate or a roqueño that really shouts out, like, I am here. Like, this is the agave you're drinking. I will say espadins are shy, and therefore you can taste a lot of the technique and a lot of the technology involved in the making through espadines. So I say, like, if you want to understand the town and understand the technology, like copper, clay distillation, you should go espadín first. And this, I think, I was discussing this with Lou. He says, I might be wrong, but I'll say this is a very good example of the Chichicapan flavor profile. My rephrase about this, this is a very common occurrence of a Chichicapan flavor profile.
That I'll accept.
Yes. And please enjoy.
I also want to give the three of you the opportunity to fight over talking us through the method for tasting agave spirits.
Why do you assume they're going to fight over it, Katie? I don't know why you would ever think that.
Why would I think that these guys might each have a different take?
My shot reflex is kicking in right now.
You know, it's funny. I don't think we've ever attended each other's tasting events. I can't remember ever seeing either of you talking somebody through how to taste an agave spirit.
I don't think so. Can I captain this one real quick?
Yeah,
mine's
please.
Really straightforward.
Yeah.
I think it works pretty well. This is just gleaned from the larger world of spirit tasting. So take just a little tiny sip, coat your palate, set it and forget it. Like, just coat your palate, don't concentrate on it too much, just kind of swallow it, let it go, and then take another sip. This is really, really important. Put it on your palate, put it on your tongue, move it around your mouth and keep it there for longer than you think you should. So like 5 real seconds. Just keep moving this around.
This is
your mouth.
So remarkably close to what I do.
I mean, this is based in kind of the world of spirits tasting, but you coat your palate, you're allowing yourself to acclimate it. The important part for me is don't think about it while you're moving it around on your palate. Like, actively try to zen out and not think about it. And
think about not thinking about it.
Think
make
very
your mind
actively
blank.
About not thinking. Think about Lou's feet instead.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've just lapped me.
I did just lap. But yeah, that helps it open up a little bit more and helps you get more out of it. The complexity of it's not going to be lost. If you start to chase after individual flavors, your brain goes in these like well-worn paths and you start to ignore all the other stuff. So the zen moment in our modern world is really pleasant. And in addition to that, it's really helpful for actually getting more out of the spirit itself.
And I hear a lot of like methods for dealing with sort of the alcohol burn and like setting yourself up to
be
kind of get past that.
Man,
you know, it's not gender, Chava. But,
that is not radically inclusive,
girl.
Chava. We're going to light you up.
Hey, you got to give him the Mexican hard pass.
But truly, I'm curious, like, because, you know, this is a very, like, high alcohol spirit.
Or just let
spirit.
It burn and then...
What, and so, like, just how do you kind of manage perceiving taste when you're also perceiving alcohol?
That I think that is definitely dependent on experience. Like, if you're not used to drinking stuff that's 48% alcohol, it's going to take you a little period of adjustment. Your palate will warm up to it. You will get used to it. The people like us who do this all the time will taste stuff that's 60, 63. The other night I tasted something that was 70 ABV. And like,
does that even burn anymore?
Nope. I'm dead inside. Totally dead.
You know, what I tend to tell people when they're feeling that burn is drink of water. Smaller sip, tiny baby sip, and hold it on your tongue to the count of 10 instead of 5. And then if it still burns, go to 15. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll just keep ramping it up because I find the longer it's in the mouth, you start to evaporate. Mm-hmm. This is my theory. You scientists tell me.
You're already wrong.
Really? You can't evaporate in the mouth?
You can.
So I'm right would be the opposite of being wrong. So it's like you're getting some of it's evaporating and getting up into your sinuses, so you're consuming it in a different way, and then swallow it, and your palate is more acclimated to it at that point, so it doesn't burn as much.
I'll accept that.
Look at that. This might be a. Is there a ding?
Is it breaking a ding?
Sound of my voice. Ding, ding, ding. There it is.
Nice. So will you all three of you be at the tasting tomorrow?
I'm not sure myself, but if I am invited, yes. I might make it happen. Yeah.
Come hang out.
You're
with
more
us.
Than invited. Yes. You're expected.
Much. Please
I'll
come.
Be very upset if you're not there.
Okay, I'll make it happen.
Thank
I'll
you.
I'll find a way.
The dynamic just won't be the same without you.
This is really interesting because I know you have to be in Philly tomorrow, so you're just going to come back after the Philly deal?
It's not
that far.
Sure.
It's like
yeah,
2 hours.
It's 2 hours. Yeah, yeah I already took the bus. Very clean, very good. Uh-huh. Hohei, U.S. bus service.
Oh hey. Peter Pan, what up?
And Jay's definitely there.
I'm gonna be there.
Yeah. What we have to do is figure out if we've got housing for our friend Chava. He has somewhere to sleep. What happens here at night?
He could just sleep on this spring table? Break. So
yeah,
go
I mean,
for it.
Spring break.
I slept on the floor for a year, so any yeah. flat we
can,
surface.
We can definitely help you find some yeah. surfaces after the show.
For sure.
A lot of soft and flat surfaces to be had in our network.
It's yeah. a shame that there's not like a call-in thing, because Chava is a handsome young single man.
Oh.
Thank you very much, Lou. I appreciate your appreciation of myself.
So if you haven't gotten your time machine to go back to our tasting yet, ladies.
Now's
ladies.
Your
wow. Okay, shall we play our game
before? We should, because Lou has to go do Van Gogh things, apparently.
Earlier, so you know that we do trivia every episode of Happy Hour, and we were in the office, and Kat was saying, you know, what should our theme for trivia be today? And I thought, you know what? We've already done trivia with Lou. And I think we definitely have.
I have a horrible memory.
But also, I think it's just amazing that you are still not fluent in Spanish, and I thought we would rag on you a little bit about that.
I'm good with that.
But I know that I think that you know more than you think you know. And so we're going to test
Disagree.
You.
Disagree.
We're going to test you.
Hard no.
I think it goes the other way around.
You were shot down so hard, Katie.
We're about to find out.
Flash Lou.
We'll see. We'll see about that, Java. Okay. We have two parts to today's game. First, we are going to start you off with some Mexican sayings that are not going to make a lot of sense in their literal translations. So do you want me to read these?
You should read them. Because okay. you speak Spanish and I don't.
I mean, Chava could read them too, but
that's true.
Chava can correct me.
He can also be Lou's like okay. phone a friend.
So we're gonna read you the saying. You're gonna tell us what it means.
I'm going to.
Yep. And if you need
help, so that's
help,
not really a game.
But if you need help, it's a game for us.
It's like
the
torture.
Game is we get to watch you be
okay.
tortured.
Okay. I'm
okay.
good with that.
If you need help, we will give you the literal translation.
Okay.
Okay. The first one. This is like referring to a person. Echarle mucha crema a sus tacos.
I'd like a lot of cream on my tacos.
Good. Good close. I mean, yeah, but this person, mean? They
but
like a lot
mean?
Of cream on their
that
tacos.
Means it's somebody who violates rules.
No.
You shouldn't put cream on your taco.
No, it's somebody making a bigger deal of something than what it really is. It's like I'm putting a lot of cream on my tacos. Why do you put a lot of cream on your tacos anyways, Lou? To make them look
I never put cream
bigger,
on my tacos.
More magnificent.
Lou is violently lactose intolerant.
Oh God! All right.
Okay.
We're gonna give you credit around. Also because you say you don't speak Spanish. You got that like that.
Well, you okay. know. Okay.
Okay.
I studied Latin.
I'm gonna say this one about somebody. Voy a sacarle la sopa.
Oh, something about soap or soup.
Which one?
I'm gonna go with soup.
Okay.
Soup. Something yeah. about the soup.
Okay, Lou. Voy a sacarte la sopa. What am I gonna do?
You're gonna soak my feet in soup.
It's tied now.
Chava, what am I gonna do?
It's an expression we use when you want to get all the gossip out of someone.
Mm-hmm. So like spill the tea.
Mm-hmm. Sort of, yeah, yeah. We're gonna get the, but we like soup better than tea.
You know, if you
fair.
If you had asked me what spill the tea meant, I wouldn't have been able to answer.
It's a new thing, Lou.
So you don't.
I'm not on the tea train, but that's what
you don't watch
thing.
Drag Race. Is what I'm getting.
I don't have a TV.
It's an old thing that.
Has come back.
White thing. People are discovering.
It's Columbus Day.
Oh gosh, yes.
Okay, we got another one for you. I'm going to have a trouble with the last word here because it's whatever.
Send it over to Chava.
Okay.
He's our guy.
Ya nos cayó el chahuizle.
Say that again.
Did I do it? Did I get it?
Yeah, it was close enough.
You say it, Chava.
Ya nos cayó el chahuizle. Oh, you are by no means going to understand.
I don't understand any of that.
Do you know what chahuizle is?
No.
I actually am not very sure if I know what chahuizle is. I definitely know what the phrase refers to.
Huilacoche?
Why don't they just say huilacoche?
That makes all sense. Yeah. Now I understand the phrase.
You do?
Yeah.
Still doesn't make any sense. So do you want to hear the English translation?
I
want to try it without the literal translation.
Okay.
I think it has something to do with somebody being old but gaining value in that age.
Oh, you're such a poet.
I'm going to give you...
I thought you were complimenting.
I'm going to give you our English translation.
Okay.
We'll say the corn fungus fell on us.
Oh, the corn fungus fell on us. Oh. You came into wealth.
No. It's like, if I could swear, it's basically we just got...
Screwed?
Yes.
You can swear.
What?
We just got fucked.
Hang on a second. If somebody showers me in huilacoche, I'm considering myself wealthy.
Not if you're a corn farmer.
What, are you kidding me? You can sell huilacoche for more than corn.
It makes sense now.
I was kind of on the same track as Lou, where I was like, it seems kind of fine, but I get it now.
No, Shower me in huilacoche. That's going to be the name of our podcast.
It's good stuff.
All right, we got two more of these, and then we have another segment, so we gotta crank it along. One more. Por las hojas se conoce el tamal que es de manteca.
Manteca. Okay, so we're talking about the pig fat
the
and
lard.
The tamales. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pig fat, lard.
Por las hojas se conoce el tamal que es de manteca.
Chava, do you know
hojas? Do you know what hojas are?
Yeah.
Hojas, those ojas. Eyeballs?
No, those are ojos. By the leaves. By the leaves, you can tell that the tamal is made from lard.
Well, I know another variation of that, which is like tamal de manteca de lejos brilla, which is like a greasy tamal. It's shines
from
far
away.
So
you can tell a chintzy guy from a distance.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
it's really close. Yes.
You're getting better at this, Lou. You're getting better.
Okay.
Not your Spanish, just your understanding.
Okay, this one applies to Lou. No tiene pelos en la lengua.
Oh, come on.
That's something about language. It's not understand. You don't understand the. He doesn't understand the language.
Or what's the other the literal term for language? What is it? Another English word.
What?
You're getting a gesture.
Tongue?
Yeah, the tongue.
Oh, yeah.
Lengua, tacos.
Lingua. Lingua tacos. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you commenting on my tongue? That's a little.
You have a hairless tongue, which basically means you'll say stuff without having any consideration for people's feelings or political.
We've written unafraid to say what you think.
That's funny. It's true. And yet I actually have hair on my tongue.
Oh, my God.
There's something weird growing in the back of my tongue. I
all
think
right.
it
Next
might
topic.
Have
something.
No, no, no,
moving
no,
on.
No. I think
go back to feet.
After exposure to mezcal consistently, people do not be afraid.
It's the chorizo bear day. The chorizo bear day.
No.
I'll show you my tongue after the show, guys.
We're out.
Our next game is that we have printed out 4 very short Spanish tongue twisters, trabalenguas, for you today.
How did this?
You gotta do rapid fire.
Yeah.
I really like that we're lighting you up right now, Lou. Not me.
Yeah.
Oh, there's just no way. Tres tristas tigres tragaban trigo en un trigal and tres tristas trastos and tres tristes trastos trabajan trigo tres tristas tigres.
Wow.
Chava,
really?
Can you read it? Would you?
Tres tristes tigres tragaban trigo en un trigal en tres tristes trastos en tres tristes trastos tragaban trigo tres tristes tigres.
So he gotta get a ding too. Yeah.
Wow. You sound sexy doing it. I sound like an awkward old
That one's about three sad tigers eating wheat.
So are they gluten intolerant? Is that why they're sad?
it's actually about you.
If I am anything, it's not a tiger.
Well, we can be the three tigers, Lou.
Three tigers? Yeah.
Oh. That can be our
warning. See, he is all heart. This is why chicks dig him. Erre con erre cigarro. Erre con erre barril. Rápido corren los carros
cargados de azúcar del ferrocarril.
This can actually be booze inspired. Because it's when
sugar we tried to be thematic today.
Yeah, because this is like when sugar cane was being transported on trains. So, you know, we used to use sugar cane for a lot of booze in Mexico. So yeah. It's, yeah.
You notice that we also give you all the sayings were food related too. You might have picked up on that.
I didn't. I'm just suffering through this pronunciation. There are almost no spots telling me where the emphasis is. Yeah. Pancha plancha con cuatro planchas. Con cuantas planchas pancha plancha?
That was really good.
Yeah, like... I might have a job for you when we go back to Mexico.
Yes, I'm sure you've got a job for me. You just keep that to yourself, pal. Okay, and we're... Yeah?
Last one?
Yeah, go okay. for it.
Pablito clavo un clavito en la calva de un calvito en la... Calva de un clavito clavó Pablito.
That was your best pronunciation.
I have a question. Does Mexico have a version of Sesame Street?
Yeah. I mean, there is a Spanish translated Sesame Street show.
I think Lou needs to do the dubbing over.
You know what?
That was so good, Lou.
I just want to try that last one.
Yeah.
As Cookie Monster.
Okay, yes, please.
But you have to be aware that this is about a rascal kid that is putting a nail at some bald guy's head.
Perfect, perfect. Read by a bald guy.
No bald guy. Cookie Monster.
Sorry, a bald Cookie Monster. He is in blue.
On the radio, no one's bald.
Pablito clavo un clavito en la calva de un calvito. En la calva de un calvito, un clavito clavo Pablito.
Well, Lou...
Where's my ding ding ding, man?
You've won our game. You get all the ding ding dings ding-a-lings. Congratulations. Thank
Muchas
you for
gracias.
That. Muchas gracias a usted. And that has been our show.
I can't talk. Just send us off.
All right. Well, I just want to say huge thank you to everybody who's been here joining us in the studio. Lou and Java and Jay, of course. Also, thank you to Rory and Max.
Thank you, Rory. Thank you, Max.
And thank you to Kat and Hannah.
Thank you.
I'm trying to be very straight-faced right now.
And thank you.
It's hard because you're like cry-laughing over here.
That was really funny.
Seriously, thank you guys for giving us this forum to talk about the thing that we care about. I really do believe that there is some, if not all, some salvation in this, and that doesn't happen unless we can spread the word. So thank you for giving us the opportunity.
Thank you
anytime
for being our friend and sharing this with us. And also thank you for the Vicio Mezcal, which is amazing. And we are really looking forward to another amazing educational event with all three of you tomorrow night / in the past for those of you listening now. We're going to tell you all about it. Check out our Instagram. It's going to be great. But really, truly, it is an honor for us to be able to host you here. And I think that what you are all doing is really, really special and amazing and makes all of our lives better and the lives of the people that you are working with, which is the mission of Sacred, with the Mezcaleros in Oaxaca. And we're just privileged to be part.
Muchas gracias. Hasta pronto.
Hasta pronto.
Adios.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork.
Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.